We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday, it's August 25th, it's 2021, and we have 10 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. Joined by my buddy, Drizzy26. What's happening, Andre?
Not much. I'm just doing it, hanging in there, trying to hopefully break this losing streak tonight. But other than that, just doing good. Just got back from live final. It was a great experience for FanDuel. Great thing they put on the Fan Fest for the first year was great. Look forward to hopefully getting back there next year.
I'm sure you will. Absolutely crushing. You're like losing streak. This dude probably hasn't made 100K over the last 3 days, and it's a losing streak for him. So all joking aside, always like doing the podcast with you, man. Hopefully, if you aren't able to take it down on Tuesday night, you know, doing the morning grind always brings good mojo to people. So you'll get back on it here Wednesday, but 10 games, interesting slate, especially from like a pitcher perspective. We have a lot of arms. There's a lot of arms on this slate. So a lot to talk about just in general here, but let's get started. We get started with Arizona at Pittsburgh. No total out for this game yet, but some of the books have it as a pick'em game. I guess there's one book that has a 9 total. We got Keller and Gilbert. Do you have any interest here in Tyler Gilbert?
Not really on this slate. I mean, he's 6K, so there'll be a little interest, but this, like you said, this slate is loaded with pitchers and good options. So I probably might have a little bit of a GPPs, but I got to see where it ends, how everything shakes out tomorrow. But we know Pittsburgh, they don't really have that great of a lineup. They've been playing a little bit better this year, but nothing that I'm terribly afraid of. And at 6K, if he could give me a couple strikeouts on DK, and have a little bit of, give me around like 10 to 15 fantasy points, I can take that and deal with it.
I quickly was reminded why not to play Bumgarner on Tuesday. First and last time I play him all season. But I mean, this is the guy that came out and threw a no-hitter in his first career start. Got woken up really quick in Colorado in his next start. He's cheap. He's getting Pittsburgh. I mean, if you end up there, I completely understand why you would end up there. I mean, Keller on the other side, it's not like the Arizona lineup is great. Any interest here in Mitch Keller?
Same thing a little bit, but not terribly too much, honestly. I'd rather honestly take some bats against them. I know the lineup isn't all that great either, but they don't strike out that. They strike out at a decent amount, but not too bad for me. So I like against the bats on that side of the game, on Arizona's side.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk bats here. I'm with you. I don't love either one of these pitchers, but I mean, both offenses kind of stink too. Mitch Keller is really bad against lefties. Rojas, Smith, Peralta, Van Meter, Cabrera. I don't think I'd five-man stack Arizona here, but I could definitely see them as like a secondary stack or like a two-man stack.
Yeah, definitely, and I agree with that 100%. I would definitely play him more as a secondary stack. I can't see him as going with the primary second unless something changes, but definitely for sure secondary. Honestly, on both sides of the play, on both sides of the game, I could see that going, but not giving like too heavy of owner exposure on the game though.
Yeah, and then on the Pittsburgh side, I mean, Reynolds, Chavez maybe, but Reynolds. I mean, I'm not going out of my way to look at Pittsburgh bats here.
I mean, the only person I like, I would probably target, like you said, besides Reynolds, I think I like Hayes a little bit too, and Stallings. So I would probably try to get those lefty-righty matchup and see what happens there. Because like you said, Gilbert's only what, his third start. I like taking him a little bit, so I like playing a little bit of both sides. The secondary stack, one off or even a two-man can be fine for me.
All right, we got Tampa at Philly. 8.5 total. The Phillies are a 130 favorite here. Ryan Yarbrough against Zach Wheeler. Any interest here in Ryan Yarbrough?
Not really. I can't get to him. I would love to play him a little bit, but I mean that price makes it so appealing to play him. sorry, something caught my throat. But hasn't really had like this. Hasn't really had like a lot of strikeouts in the past. A couple of starts that we have him in. And this Philadelphia Phillies team is a pretty decent team. And I believe they're still in a playoff hunt, if I'm correct. So I don't like attacking them as much. So even though I know they do have a little bit of strikeouts in there, and they're getting healthy too. Not really much interest in there for me.
Yeah, the Phillies are technically still in it. The Braves going on like, I think they won 9 of the last 10 or something and really opened the gap on the Phillies and the Mets. And the Mets have been just so terrible here recently. And I mean, like the wild card, you're likely going to get two of those West Coast Dodgers, Giants, Padres teams. So, I mean, the Phillies are still technically in. But Zach Wheeler on the other side of this game, he's 10K. I mean, there's plenty of strikeouts in the Tampa lineup. We know that. This guy has a big strikeout rate at 29.5%, 5% walk rate on the season. Not a lot of Tampa guys like to run. I mean, this sets up as a really decent spot for Zach Wheeler. I mean, I definitely think he's one of the top overall pitchers on the slate. It's just, I mean, he's 10K. I mean, you're comparing, I'm comparing everybody today to Luis Castillo and Otani because of the matchups those two guys are in. So, I mean, they're a little bit cheaper than Wheeler, but I definitely think Wheeler is talent-wise one of the best pitchers on the slate.
Yeah, and I agree. Like you said, the only thing that concerns me is that the Rays are very patient and line up a little bit too. So, I'll have some Zach Wheeler, but he's not going to be, like you said, my first spend-up option for sure.
All right, bats in this game. Anything standing out to you for Tampa?
Nothing really standing out, obviously, is Wheeler. So I don't mind taking some shots on this in some tournaments as a whole, as a primary stack and also secondary stack. But the bat obviously I would love the most is Nelson Cruz and Rosarena in his lineup for sure. But I don't see myself getting to a lot of Tampa Bay tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wheeler doesn't have a ton of weaknesses. This guy doesn't typically give up a ton of home runs. I think he's only allowed 2 multi-home run games this season, and I could be wrong. I don't have it right in front of me, but I do think Tampa's a team that I'm going to stay away from. It's a 10-game slate. I can kind of cross off a couple teams, and I mean, I'm definitely looking at crossing off this team. And then on the other side of this game, Ryan Yarbrough – does give up a lot of fly balls and a lot of hard contact. He's kind of, it's someone that pitches really well at Tampa, but when he gets in these types of ballparks, I don't mind maybe looking at some of these power righties against him.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. The strikeouts he hasn't had a lot of strikeouts, like I said, over the past, I think, 1, 2, 3, like 4 or 5 starts. I think the most he's had was 6 against the Indians, from what I'm looking at. But this lineup, you said the righties, they have a lot of power in them. So I definitely don't mind taking some of that in there for sure. And even a guy like even the lefties in there, like Bryce Harper. And even if you want to get a little bit different, go with DD. Because this team actually could be a really sneaky team, I think, in tournaments. I don't think they won't be that high owned. But we'll see how the stakes lakes out. But I definitely can see myself playing some of them in tournaments for sure.
All right, we got LA going up against Baltimore in this one. 9.5 total. Angels, a 160 favorite here. Otani and Kramer facing off against each other. I just kind of said it. I mean, just looking at like pricing and stuff on this slate and looking at just overall ceiling, I mean, Baltimore can hit home runs with the best of them, but they also strike out at a very high clip. So a guy like Otani with big strikeout stuff against like Mountcastle and Mancini, Severino, Hayes, like these guys strike out. So 8,700 for the ceiling of Otani. The only bad thing is we don't get his like points for hitting, because this is a spot that he could put up 30 plus fantasy points again.
Oh yeah, he's probably gonna be a top overall pitcher tomorrow. Just from a strikeout upside perspective, and I don't blame him. I don't blame anyone. I like it for sure. That price is still perfect for him, and there's a lot of strikeouts. And the Baltimore Orioles lineup, and they're still in their losing streak, so I definitely like getting to them.
I mean, Kramer on the other side, I'm out. He's had a couple bright spots this season, but overall, below average strikeout guy. And I mean, it's not like this lineup is going to light the world on fire, but I still think that Kramer is just not a guy that I'm going to end up on a 10-game slate.
Oh, and I agree 100%. I definitely will not probably play any Kramer at all and just probably get to the bats a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, we can't play Otani because he's pitching. Justin Upton was like setting up as like one of the best value plays on the slate, but he's dealing with a little bit of a calf injury, so we'll kind of have to see if he's going to be back or not. I mean, this lineup potentially is going to be really weak looking. I like Jared Walsh a lot. Joe Odell, if he cracks the lineup, he has a ton of power. He's someone that I don't mind taking shots on. I just don't see myself stacking the Angels, even in a fantastic spot against Kramer, against this Baltimore bullpen. It's just they don't have a ton of power in this lineup. With Otani not being able to be played, the ceiling is somewhat limited here.
Yeah, and I get that, but I think they can still work. They might not be one of the best stacks, but the run total is still high. I kind of like getting some as a stack. It'd be different, especially if you think they're not going to be that high on. Marsh is someone I like to target. I understand they don't have a lot of power in the lineups and up and home run potential, but I think that in this matchup, they can still get on base a lot and still put up a lot of runs and a lot of hits. So to me, something like that, I don't mind definitely taking as more of a secondary stack, but I will definitely have them as both a second and a primary.
Baltimore side, I don't see myself. I thought Baltimore was a team that you could target yesterday and they were a good way to get different on the slate just in general. But I mean, I don't see myself ending up on Baltimore here.
I'm going to have a few in GPPs, probably like 5, just because we know Shohei, we know his strikeout upside, but he can also give up a lot of hits and a lot of home runs. So I'll have a little bit of both, but not that much, honestly. Probably, like I said, like probably the most 5% of Baltimore stacks, if anything.
All right, we got the White Sox and the Blue Jays here. Lucas Giolito against Robbie Ray. 8.5 total. Pick 'em game. Some places have the Blue Jays at anywhere up to like -130. Let's start with Lucas Giolito. I mean, I feel like this whole series has been just like good pitching. What are your thoughts here on Lucas Giolito?
I definitely want to play him. I want to have some shares of him. I have 8.3K, so he's even a little bit cheaper than Shohei. So I know this Toronto bats are obviously dangerous, but like you said, the whole series between them two has been the great pitching. So I don't mind getting to some Lucas in some of my lineups, because we know his upside and what he can do. And the ballpark, I think, will help him out a little bit more too.
I mean, Dylan Cease just pitched really well against this team on Tuesday night. So, I mean, Lance Lynn had a really solid outing the other night too. Lucas Giolito is a guy with a 28% K rate against righties. My biggest concern about Giolito compared to like Lance Lynn the other night, Giolito gives up a lot of fly balls and a lot of hard contact to righties. When you're looking at the Toronto lineup, I mean, they're stacked. But I think that's kind of – he's kind of priced like that, though. It's kind of in the price. Like, he's 8,300. So, he's not priced like an ace on this slate. So, I think you're definitely taking some tournament shots on Giolito. And then, I mean, on the other side, Berrios had a terrible first inning. Was able to bounce back a little bit. But, I mean, Robbie Ray sets up as a great play here, especially if Tim Anderson is not back. Still dealing with a little bit of a leg injury. That takes out one of their good righties. The bottom of this order, depending on what lineup we get, Ray could have a fantastic matchup here.
Oh, yes, and I love Robbie Ray. He's going to be probably my second favorite pitcher on the slate, honestly. Even though we have a lot of good other guys on the slate that you might want to get to as well, but the strikeouts or potential with this lineup is still high on Robbie Ray in this matchup. And in that ballpark, he's just, to me, might be not a lock, but I might want to be overweight on the field with him compared to most other pitchers on the slate.
Bats in this game? Anything here on the White Sox?
I mean, in GPPs, you take some shots, but I don't really like taking shots against Robbie Ray, personally. He's been pitching well all season, so I can't see myself having that much of him. If I do, it would be mainly like the power righties or any of his one-offs, if anything, like Jose Abreu, Mancada, Eloy, pretty much like the heart of that lineup. And then same thing with the Toronto bats, as you were saying, with all the righties going against Giolito. I would just use that probably as some leverage and stacking my lineups if Giolito's going to be a little bit more higher on than most pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you got Robbie Ray, I mean, you could target a right-handed power bat. So a guy like Luis Robert or Jose Abreu, Jimenez's numbers this season have been terrible against lefties just in general. But I mean, when we look back to his like healthy year that we saw him, his numbers were really good against lefties, put the ball in play a lot when he wasn't striking out. So, and then, like you said, on the Toronto side, man, I think they're a good contrarian stack today. I mean, if Giolito's not on and he's giving up a lot of hard contact and fly balls, I mean, this is a spot you could definitely target some of these guys. All right, Washington at Miami. This game has a 7 total. It opened at 7. It's up to 8. And, I mean, it's a pick'em game. We got Josiah Gray going up against Edward Cabrera. Any interest here in Josiah Gray?
Yes, I do. To me, if Fetty could do what he did today against Miami, I'm convinced anyone can. So I will definitely have some shots of Josiah Gray. He was one of the top prospects for the Dodgers when he was with them, as far as a pitching prospect. So I definitely love taking some shots with Josiah Gray for sure against Miami, who has just a high strikeout rate on the season as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of interest in both of these guys. I'm a little concerned about Edward Cabrera just pitch count wise. This dude has electric stuff. He's one of the top prospects for the Marlins. I think he's top 50 in baseball overall. Above average slider, electric fastball. Swinging strike rate in 29 innings in AAA this season is 20%. He has a 37% K rate in AAA this season. And I mean, he's one that kind of got bit a little bit by COVID because he probably would have been with the big league club to start this season and to finish last year. But this is a dude with electric stuff. The Washington lineup is not great. They're without a lot of people that got moved. I mean, he's 5K. He's my punt pitcher of the slate. I like this spot a lot. And I'm always willing to take shots on young pitchers with electric stuff. But I do worry a little bit about pitch count. I mean, that's my biggest concern for him.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I'm going to have, like, 5K is the barrel minimum price. And, like, Washington, they're a little bit of a deceiving team, in my opinion. Like, we expect them – they do have a really bad lineup that they put out. But they tend – but they hit. They've been hitting a lot. So, I will definitely have some shares of Cabrera for sure, just to be case for the strikeout potential. And at 5K, what's the worst that could happen, honestly? He gets you like five or four, or obviously negative is the worst, but I think there's just upside there, like you said, being a top 50 pitching prospect and Cabrera. So I don't mind and I love it. And it's a good spot to try it at, honestly, for the price.
Yeah. I mean, bats in this game on the Washington side of things. I mean, you could always play Juan Soto. I've been very vocal about Juan Soto since they moved a lot of pieces here. He just doesn't have protection. I hate that. He's a good hitter. He has a ton of upside. But, I mean, I mean, this game's in Miami. I really don't have a ton of interest in the Washington bats.
Yeah, me either. Like I said, Juan Soto, maybe Josh Bell is a one-offs if anything. But if Cabrera is going to be popular, we'll get to a little bit of Washington and stacks and tournaments. That's about it, but nothing too crazy.
Miami side, anything?
Not really, honestly. But honestly, probably the same thing if we really want to be technical, because Josiah Gray should theoretically mow down his lineup and pitch extremely well against him, but Miami does the same thing. They sometimes do hit well and put the ball in play, even at that park in Miami. So I'll have a little bit, a tiny, tiny bit, but not a lot.
All right. We got the Giants and the Mets. Johnny Cueto, Tajon Walker facing off in this one. 8.5 total. The Mets are a slight favorite. And, I mean, if you are in a place where you can – legally bet, I love the Giants even money line right now. I think that's the Mets have just been so terrible. I think they're 2-9 in the last 11. They're getting smashed by the Giants on Tuesday night. I mean, Johnny Cueto is okay. I've been very vocal about how I kind of want to approach this slate. I really like the high-end pitching prices or pitchers. And I mean, yeah, I don't see myself ending up on Cueto.
Yeah, me either. I can't see myself getting to him at all. I'd rather just not play him at all and fade him and take my chances on some other pitchers on the slate.
And then Tajon Walker is not a bad pitcher. It's just this lineup's really good. Just overall, this lineup got better. And, I mean, they're going to start hitting again. And they showed life on Tuesday night. Brandon Belt had a couple home runs. I mean, it's just a matter of time before this team starts hitting. And I mean, I just don't have any interest in right-handed pitching against them right now.
No, and I agree 100% with that. And this trend has been going, I think, the opposite direction, if I'm correct, lately too. So the lineup was just stacked with a lot of good hitting on there. So I'd rather get to the bats of San Francisco than getting to the pitching definitely in this game.
All right, bats on the Giants side. I mean, we kind of just talked about it a little bit. This is a spot that, I mean, I definitely don't mind looking at some of these lefties. What are you looking at here?
Yeah, I definitely love the lineup from top to bottom. The lefties definitely stick out to me a lot. Brandon Bell probably being my favorite. He's having a pretty good game today as well. And I definitely don't mind getting to Yastrzemski, who's batting eighth. And to me, he's just a good hitter like him, just batting eighth in your lineup, and it's still going to be low on, especially because people like to play in the bottom half of lineups. That's someone I definitely want to target for sure. Dickerson as well, Crawford. There's a whole lineup up and down. You can play anybody, even the righty-righty with Chris Bryant or Posey if he's in the lineup. I love it.
Yeah, Posey, I know he was dealing with a little bit of a knee injury on Tuesday night. They took him out of the game. But, I mean, yeah, if he's back in there, I think he'll be fine. But, I mean, Crawford, yeah, as like you mentioned, belts. I mean, Crawford as a shortstop has 19 home runs on the season very quietly and would have more if he didn't get hurt, I'm sure. So hashtag analysis. On the Mets side of things, I mean, this lineup stinks. I mean, like, they're just ice cold right now. And I mean, Cueto is not someone that I love to target, because it always feels like he is on the right side of BABIP. But he is also someone that can give up home runs. So Pete Alonso, Lindor is back, Baez is back. I mean, maybe looking at maybe a two-man or a one-off. I don't hate the idea of doing that. But, I mean, this game's in Citi Field.
Yes, and the weather's going to be, I think, this supposed to be, a little bit humid out here tomorrow, if I'm correct, in New York. I got to check that again. But I don't mind taking one-offs for sure. So, like, or even a mini stack with McNeil, Alonso, Conforto, Baez right there in that little heart of the lineup. I don't mind it for sure. Dominic Smith a little bit too. It would be more for me as a secondary stack because I don't think Cueto is that good as he used to be anymore as a pitcher. So I definitely like doing that for sure as opposed to more of a primary stack.
Man, moving on. Minnesota at Boston. Nick Pivetta and Bailey Ober facing off in this one. This game currently sitting at 10.5. It opened at 11, and the Red Sox are a big favorite here, anywhere from 170 to 200. Any interest here in Bailey Ober?
No. not against this Red Sox lineup at all. Just no.
I mean, they just keep hitting. Everybody hit on Tuesday night. Like, they just keep hitting. So, on the other side, you got Nick Pivetta. I mean, he's not an ace by any means. He has good strikeout stuff. I think Minnesota's a lineup that's beatable, but they also have a lot of power. So, I mean, I could see this going either way. I could see stacking Minnesota. I could see Pivetta having a good game. If you're max entering tournaments today, I think you get both sides here. I think you play a little bit of Pivetta. I think you play a little bit of Minnesota stacks.
And I agree with that 100%. Pivetta can go either way, and that's how he's been pitching lately too. He has some great phenomenal starts, and then he has some horrible starts. So it's very possible for it to have either or. So I definitely can the both sides of that for sure, and teetering the line a little bit.
All right. I mean, Minnesota, I just kind of got done saying it. Kepler, Roker, Polanco, Donaldson, Garver, Sano. Like, I mean, there's six guys in this lineup with ISOs over 200 against right-handed pitching this season. There's plenty of stack potential here, especially they're getting the ninth inning because this game's in Boston, and nobody's stacking Minnesota on this slate. So I think they're definitely in play.
Yes, I agree for sure. Just don't play Simmons at the bottom of that lineup. He seems to never do anything. That's all I have to say about him. But everyone else, Kepler, Roker, all the way down to Cave, I don't mind taking the sacks for sure.
All right. Boston bats, I mean, all of them. I mean, they're somewhat expensive just overall on the slate, but there's still a couple pieces that you can easily make the stack work. I mean, I love the Red Sox again today.
Oh yeah, they're gonna be my number one stack of the night, by far tomorrow. Just take any one of the bats. Honestly, this guy's just giving up a lot of hits lately and a lot of hard contact. So I love everybody, from Enrique Hernandez, but I especially like Bobby the Block and the ninth spot that he's going to be at. I know it's righty-righty, but no one likes to play the bottom half, like I said, the line before. But he's someone I definitely like to go hit a homer tomorrow for sure.
All right, Texas at Cleveland. I mean, we have no idea who's pitching in this game for Texas. We'll have to kind of wait and see. There was one book that put a line out. It's 9, and the Indians are a big favorite. We know Plesic's pitching. Do you have any interest here in Zach Plesic?
I would love to, but especially because it's Texas, I'll have a little bit, but not that much. I won't be overexposed, so I'll probably have maybe 10%. But I mean, at 8.5 in tournaments, he's a good play to get different. He's just in between the price of Giolito and Shohei, so he might get. Hopefully, he is a little bit lost, but not terribly too much interest in him, honestly.
The rumor is that Jake Latz is going to pitch for Texas, and I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Do you have any interest in the Texas bats?
If please, it's going to be. I'm going to wait to see how the ownership shakes out. Because I know sometimes, like I said before, I don't think he's going to be high on, because I think he'll be lost. But if he is going to be high on, then I'll have a little bit of Texas. If not, then I don't think I'm going to get any type of exposure to him on Texas tomorrow at all.
I mean, yeah, this lineup is bad. On the Cleveland side, I mean, if Latz is pitching, he doesn't project as like a top-end prospect. So, I mean, he's a lefty. I think straw bat and leadoff, Ramirez, Reyes, Rosario, Ramos, any of the guys at the top end of this lineup would be in play.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. The top half is where I would want to only get to as far as with the bats. I don't mind taking Owen Miller. I'm at the sixth spot too. He's someone I think has a little bit of power, and that he can give you some little bit of tournament GPP winning upside in the lineup if they're hitting well tomorrow.
Cincinnati at Milwaukee. 7.5 total in this one. The Brewers, a 175 favorite. Castillo and Woodruff. I mean, it just keeps on coming in this series pitching-wise. So any interest here in Luis Castillo?
I'm definitely going to have some for sure. It's like the Brewers, they're either like hit or miss, either striking out heavy or they're hitting everything, in my opinion. Nothing's really been in between with them lately. So I definitely get to Castillo for sure. He's been pitching a lot better lately too. So I don't mind taking him for sure.
I mean, we just watched on Tuesday night. We watched Molly strike out like, was it 7 or 8? Got in trouble in the sixth, and he yanked him. I think he went 5 2/3 or something like that. I mean, I think Luis Castillo is very much in play here. And then, I mean, Woodruff on the other side. We saw Barnes struggle. Woodruff has been struggling here recently anyway. I mean, this might be a spot that, like, I just stay away from Woodruff. I obviously, I think he's talented. He has big strikeout stuff, but I mean, the Cincinnati lineup is healthy. Votto's in there. Moustakas is in there. Nyquin's starting to hit the ball again. I mean, this lineup has gotten healthy again.
Yeah, and that's what concerns me with Woodruff. He's someone I think he's definitely a tournament play at this point. His price is a little bit too high when there's a little bit other pitchers that are better than him that are cheaper. And he'll be lower. He'll come at lower ownership. So he is a good tournament play, but I'm not as high on him as the other pitchers on the slate today.
Cincinnati bats. I mean, nobody's going to play Cincinnati. And I mean, the prices are nice. Castellanos 4.4. Moustakas 4.4. Obviously, you're paying up for Votto at 5K. I mean, just pricing that, like, you can really. Tyler Nyquin 2.7, Barnhart 2.6. Like, this might be your, like, garbage bin stack of the day. Or Blender says vomit stack of the day. Like, I can't say vomit stack because they're one of the best offenses in baseball when they're healthy. I mean, I think this is the garbage bin stack of the day.
Yes, and I agree with that 100%. If Woodruff is going to be, which we don't think is going to be popular tomorrow, but if he does somewhat come in popular, you'll be able to use the stacks against him. But even that, even if you don't, they're going to be low owned, and this is definitely a leverage play for sure. There's a couple other stacks I know people would like to probably try to get to. So I could see that being going overlooked, especially with a 3-run total that they projected to have right now. There's no reason why we can't see that run exceed, especially in Milwaukee. And it's going to be a little bit humid there too. So I like the spot for Cincinnati Reds in tournaments.
All right. We finish it out with the Dodgers and the Padres, Darvish and Walker Buehler. 7.5 total here. The Dodgers are 135 favorites. Any interest here in Walker Buehler?
I'm going to have some, yes, because he's just been pitching phenomenal. So he's definitely someone I'm going to play. It's a lot of good, like you said, a lot of good pitching on the slate. So it's going to be tough, but he's someone I definitely want to target for sure, especially against San Diego, who hasn't really been playing all that well lately too. So I love it.
Yeah, I mean, Buehler has been pitching great. This team, you always worry about strikeouts just overall. They got like that Machado, Cronenworth, Hosmer, like middle of the lineup where they don't really walk a ton, but they don't really strike out. They put the ball in play a lot. So you always kind of worry about that. But, I mean, Buehler has definitely earned his keep here recently. You, Darvish, push back a day. Any interest in Darvish?
Isn't it Snell? Snell's not pitching tomorrow?
Is it Snell?
I have Snell. Look, I'm looking at right here on Fantasy Labs. At least I don't know if that's changed.
Yeah, I think it's Darvish, but I could be wrong. I'll look really quick. But
if it's you, I do have a little bit of interest, but not that much. But probably same thing if it's Snell too. Either way, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to kind of see who it is. Everything I'm looking at says Darvish, but I mean, he was supposed to start Tuesday, and I think they just pushed him back a day. I could be wrong, but we'll see how it plays out.
You're probably right. Because even on FanDuel, it has Snell pitching as a starting pitcher, what I'm looking at. But either way, I don't see myself getting to – I'll have a little bit of exposure to him. Depending on the price for you, I don't know what his price is on DK, but if it's like the mid sevens, and I don't mind having a little bit of exposure to him, but this Dodgers lineup is still good. I feel like they're just taking, obviously they're not healthy with what's McCullough being out. What's his name? Oh, goodness gracious. Guy who came in from Boston last year. I can't remember his name, but with him being out right now, they still have a lot of hitters in the lineup, and it's like a murderous row still. So I don't mind having a little bit, but not a whole bunch of exposure to Darvish or Snell tomorrow.
Bats in this game. I mean, anything here on the Dodgers?
It's the Dodgers, so I feel like you always have to have a stack in tournaments. Because you never know. They can always get to any pitcher. So I don't mind it for sure. Trey Turner is going to be one of my top end bats to pick. Will Smith, if he's in the lineup as well. And Justin and Max Muncy. Pretty much anyone up and down that whole lineup, I don't mind getting to. More so of a secondary stack than a primary stack. Though being that it's a matchup against the Padres, and they tend to play pretty well against each other.
And then on the Padres side, I just don't see myself using a lot of bats from this game in general. I think it's going to be one of the lowest scoring games on the slate. It's a 10-game slate. That's just kind of where I'm at.
No, and I agree with you. I don't think it's going to even reach the total that it is, honestly, but who knows? But I definitely would prefer the pitching side more so than the hitters in this game.
All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here using DraftKings scoring under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts today.
Under 8K. Give me Josiah Gray.
All right. I'm going to take my boy Edward Cabrera, making his major league debut. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Give me Nick Pivetta.
I got a weird feeling today about Brandon Woodruff. I'm going to go Brandon Woodruff as the highest priced pitcher on the slate. Bust. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got today?
Over 4K to hit a home run. See, I'm not going to go obvious and go with anyone from the Red Sox. We'll go a little off the board here. I'm actually going to say Bryce Harper.
I like it. I'm taking a Red Sox bat. I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. give me Kyle Schwarber to go yard today. Under 4K to get two hits. Who do you like today?
Bobby DeBlock.
I like it. I'm going to kind of – I think this is a little off the board. I'm going to go Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, I like
it. And then give me a stack to score six or more runs.
You know, I'm gonna coincide with your team since you're on that train, and honestly, I feel like it can happen too. I'm with the Cincinnati Reds.
I like it. I was like, your team is the Yankee guy picking the Red Sox to score six or more. All right, they should score six or more runs in this spot, but I'm not going to say the Red Sox. I feel like that's a little cheating. I'm gonna stay in that game though. I'm gonna say Minnesota puts up some points, some runs against Pivetta today, and Minnesota scores six or more runs.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Red Sox are still going to win. They're going to put up more runs. Hashtag analysis. On that note, we're going to get out of here. I hope everyone has an awesome Wednesday. Dre, always fun to do the podcast with you. Hopefully you can get off your losing streak. I don't even want to hear it. All joking aside, man, I hope you keep running well. So we'll be back Thursday talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.